I'm Matt Katz, in for Tanzina Vega. As COVID-19 has devastated businesses, many hoped something called business interruption insurance would be able to help out. But that hasn't been the case, as insurance companies are denying potentially billions of dollars in claims. Nearly one-third of all businesses in the U.S. have business interruption insurance, which Elizabeth Blossfield, East Region Editor of the Insurance Journal, describes this way.
Business interruption insurance will typically cover a business owner if there is a loss as a result of property damage. So, for example, if a restaurant has a fire and it damages some of the equipment inside and needs to shut down for a few weeks for repairs, it can call in its business interruption insurance to recoup some of the lost business in that situation.
But insurance companies are saying there's been no physical damage caused by the virus, even as some businesses argue that the virus is damaging surfaces by making them untouchable. Businesses across the country are now filing lawsuits against their insurers, fighting these claim denials, including famed chefs Wolfgang Puck and Thomas Keller. And now states are getting involved. Six states have proposed legislation that would make insurance companies pay out these business interruption insurance claims. Elizabeth Blossfield says understanding all of this requires going back to the SARS outbreak of 2002-2003.
After the SARS outbreak, I think the insurance industry really decided that a virus is too unpredictable of a risk to insure because each virus is different and the scope of damage and the extent of loss could be too great. The insurance industry really likes to anticipate risk. So with something like a natural disaster, for example, like a hurricane or a wildfire, you know, insurers can look at historical data for a particular region to better understand the expected outcome or impact to their clients if a future event were to occur. But with a virus, it can be slightly unpredictable. Each virus, you know, is different. It's difficult to predict from past events what the impact of a future viral outbreak will be. So the insurance industry decided to exclude virus and bacteria-related losses from business interruption policies in most cases.
After September 11th, 2001, insurance companies excluded losses due to terrorism from business interruption insurance. And then, like you said, they excluded viruses and bacteria right after the SARS outbreak in 2002-2003. Do you think there'll be any changes that'll be made to business interruption insurance policies after this pandemic?
You know, that's a good question. It's one that I've thought about a lot as well. What I've heard from the insurance industry is that coverage like this is such a niche area that it's one of those things that business owners may not realize they need until they really, really need it. For example, like during this coronavirus pandemic. So in the past, when there have been a couple of insurers that have tried to, you know, build a pandemic policy out for customers, and it just wasn't selling.
I imagine it didn't sell because people weren't expecting a global pandemic. So there didn't seem like there'd be a need for insurance against it, right?
Exactly. It's one of those things that you can't really anticipate happening, and you might not realize that you need the coverage for until it actually happens and you're without coverage.
Right, right. Many businesses have filed lawsuits against their insurers for denying these kinds of claims. Have you seen any of the lawsuits related to the virus? And what are some of the arguments that they might be making for why insurers should be covering COVID-19 losses under business interruption insurance?
I have seen some of these lawsuits, and some of the attorneys on behalf of their business owner clients are claiming that because the insurance policy doesn't contain a specific virus exclusion, that it should be covered. You know, others are claiming that there is a physical damage component because of the contamination. You know, a virus can attach itself to a surface for, they're saying, with this virus up to 72 hours in some cases. And so they're claiming that the policy language, you know, is ambiguous and it doesn't specify whether there's visible or invisible property damage, and contamination can be considered an invisible damage. You know, I've even seen some lawsuits where they're claiming that the virus may have infiltrated a building's ventilation system, and in that way it's contaminating the air, and that could be considered a physical damage component. I think it's too early to tell whether these arguments will hold weight or how it'll play out, but it's definitely a good question.
New York, New Jersey, Massachusetts, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Louisiana, they're all proposing legislation that would make insurance retroactively cover COVID-19 losses. How would that work? Do you know? Have you looked at any of those proposals?
Yeah, I've spoken to a few of the legislators who have proposed these bills in various states, and their concern is really about assisting businesses, you know, especially restaurants who have lost a large part of their business to this virus, and small businesses where an extended shutdown could even put them out of business. They're really trying to call on the insurance industry to step in and help with some of these financial difficulties. For the insurance industry, on the other hand, you know, it's held firm with its stance that business interruption coverage wasn't designed to cover virus-related losses. They're saying it's too big of a risk that the industry wasn't able to price for. So if it retroactively has to go back and pay for some of these losses that it wasn't able to price for, it would be a huge financial hit to the insurance industry. And I know that the insurance industry has also raised questions about the constitutionality of legislation like this, saying that it could conflict with the Contracts Clause in Article 1 of the U.S. Constitution, which says that states can't interfere with private contracts. The argument like that, I think that business owners and insurers definitely have great points, and it'll be interesting to see how it plays out. You know, I know that the legislation that's been proposed in various states, none of it has passed as of yet. So it'll be interesting to see if other states follow suit and what will ultimately end up happening.
Does some of the legislation seem to have legs? Does some of the legislation seem to have a potential of passing?
You know, it's very early stages right now. When I talk to people who work in the insurance industry, they seem to think that the legislation just doesn't really hold any weight and it's eventually not going to pass. You know, speaking with business owners and attorneys that represent them, you know, they're still holding out hope that the insurance industry can come in and help out with some of these costs. So I think it's a little early to say which side will ultimately win out, but we'll see.
Elizabeth Blossfield is the East Region Editor for the Insurance Journal. Elizabeth, thanks so much for your reporting and for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.